Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The opera world is mourning today. The acclaimed soprano Beverly Sills died last night at the age of 78. The cause was inoperable lung cancer. Sills was known to many as the queen of American opera. She was born in Brooklyn, trained here in the States, and was arguably the most famous American opera singer ever. Joining us to look back at her career is the classical music writer Anne Majette, a regular guest on WNYC, who joins us today by phone from London. Anne, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry it's for this reason.
Now, you knew Beverly Sills, right?
Well, I met Beverly when I was a child, yes. My uncle used to sing with her frequently.
Oh, and so you met her in a professional context or a social one?
In a professional context. My first full-length grown-up opera was The Barber of Seville in Boston in, I think, 1973 or 4. And Beverly was the Rosina, and we got to go backstage and try on her wig. And I got to see the diva on stage and off stage, and it made a huge impression. Here I am all these years later.
And thus was born the classical music critic.
Absolutely.
Now, Beverly Sills was born Belle Silverman in Brooklyn, you know, Erasmus High School there in Brooklyn, the professional children's school, American born and trained. Was it that simple? Is that what made her America's first great diva? Or was there something else that was sort of particularly American about her?
Oh, I think it was. I think Beverly came along at a time when opera was opening out and beginning the process of sort of popularization that it's still going through. There were certainly great American singers before Beverly, but Beverly had a spark about her that captured the popular imagination, not just the popular imagination. She had a tremendous voice, and it was her singing ability that first and foremost launched her. But when you watched Beverly sing, you always remembered how much fun it was. And that could be a hallmark of golden age singing, but it's not something you see that much today. And whether Beverly was singing on The Muppet Show with Miss Piggy or on the stage as Rosina, or even in one of Donizetti's Three Queens, you got a sense of the excitement of singing. When you think of Beverly, it's always with a big smile on her face, and I think that's something that stayed in many people's minds, even people who weren't opera lovers per se.
Well, one of the performances that people have been remembering today is Cleopatra in Handel's Julius Caesar in 1966, helping to inaugurate City Opera at Lincoln Center. Was this a particularly risky performance for her?
Well, it was tremendously risky for everybody. People just didn't sing Handel at that time. Today, when Handel is ubiquitous, we forget that it wasn't done on the stage. It was assumed audiences wouldn't like it. There was a considerable amount of opposition to the idea of doing it. And in order to do it, they performed it in a cut-down and changed-around edition that today just raises eyebrows and sounds rather dated and not quite acceptable to Handel purists, but it's easy to forget that it was truly a benchmark. Audiences not only went to it, they loved it, and it really, in a way, helped spearhead the Handel revival. I mean, today City Opera is known for its performances of Handel, and that's a process that I think in large part began with that recording and performance.
So it launched both New York City Opera and the great career of the late Beverly Sills. Here she is in that role of Cleopatra. The late Beverly Sills in the role of Cleopatra from the Handel opera Julius Caesar. We're remembering Beverly Sills, who died last night at the age of 78, with classical music writer Anne Majette on the phone with us from London. Anne, you mentioned a moment ago her performance of The Three Queens. That, again, was sort of an unusual choice on her part, wasn't it, just in terms of repertoire?
Absolutely. I mean, the bel canto operas were only just beginning to come sort of back into the repertory. I mean, of course, Sutherland and Callas had spearheaded that, but those are three punishing roles, and to take them all on, I don't remember in what space she did it, was not something that people did, and they were off the beaten track of Donizetti, and she again turned them into a true phenomenon at City Opera. It should be noted that another fact in Beverly's American opera singer-ness is that she was the reigning diva at City Opera for years and years, but came to the Met very, very late in her career, and never sang there very much. And so she made, in a way, a virtue out of necessity by becoming a great American figure as much as a great international one. In that was how she was positioned in everybody's mind.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about the three queens, you mean this trio of Donizetti operas. There's Anna Bolena,
Roberta Devereux, and Maria Stuarda.
Right.
Which are three historically based operas in the bel canto sense of historically based by Donizetti.
And this is the voice of Beverly Sills and the role of Elizabeth in the second of the three that Anne Maget just mentioned, Roberto Devereux by Donizetti. Beverly Sills singing the music of Donizetti. Beverly Sills died last night at the age of 78. Anne Maget's with us. And you mentioned that it wasn't just that she had a great voice, although that was the starting point. There was the great personality that somehow came across as well. I think probably more Americans, not probably, certainly more Americans saw her on the couch with Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show or singing with Carol Burnett, her friend, the comedienne. How did she manage to appeal both to the critical operaphiles and to the general public at large?
Well, I think it was really genuine. I think Beverly had a kind of magnetic personality. It's wonderful hearing these recordings, thinking of her so much these last 2 days, because in her later years, she was known as sort of a Macher behind the scenes on boards and the board of Metropolitan Opera and at Lincoln Center. Whether she was on or off the stage, she had this same sort of drive, sparkle, as I said, the big smile on her face. And I think that came across. I think people really responded to that. It's notable. Her life was not easy, and there are many people who could have made, who could have found it difficult or painted a black picture, and she instead tended to take things in the most optimistic way and sort of put a happy spin on things. I mean, becoming a great American diva despite the not getting to the medicine that she had wanted to, and then later becoming a real mover and shaker on the Met board, who was instrumental, I believe, in bringing Peter Gelb to the Met as the current general manager.
And former Mayor Ed Koch actually once called her an empire unto herself. I mean, she did all this work behind the scenes, as you say, but she was also the very visible face for many people of Lincoln Center for a number
Absolutely.
Of years. What do you think her lasting impact, specifically in New York? I mean, you can talk more broadly about American music if you like, but here in New York, what is her lasting impact likely to be?
Oh, I think that her abrupt departure leaves a huge hole for people, and I think everybody's going to be trying to figure that out. She was instrumental in helping to found the Lincoln Center Festival, which continues to be a major feature of New York. As I said, bringing Peter Gelb to the Met or having a role in that is tremendous. But I think, in a sense, that she left a stamp on an era that was about opening opera up to people without cheapening it. Beverly may have been a populist, and she may have gone on the Muppet Show, but she never cheapened what she did. If you loved her on the Muppet Show, you would also probably love her in The Merry Widow or in Roberta Devereux. So I suppose her legacy is embodying a kind of spirit of opera that could really reach people, which is, after all, what it's all about.
Anne Maget, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Anne Majette joining us to remember the life and career of soprano Beverly Sills, who died last night at the age of 78. And that'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow, plenty of musicians leave successful groups to go solo. Some reach new heights of success. Peter Gabriel, Justin Timberlake. Others don't soar quite as high. I'm looking at you, Ringo Starr. On Independence Day, we'll look at the finer points of launching an independent or solo career. And singer-songwriter Emily Haynes is doing some solo work, although she's still part of the Canadian rock band Metric. She'll join us for a solo performance in our soundcheck studio. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our program produced by Brian Wise, Joel Meyer, and Allison Lichter with Alicia Abbott. Our senior producer, Gisele Regatow, and our executive producer, Chris Bannon. We had help from Michael McLaughlin, Josh Heilbrunner, Chris Lim, Brad Cresswell.